Okay. Good morning, all you fellow space travelers. Let's take a moment, as we usually do in the morning. Excuse me. Let's close our eyes. And give yourself the opportunity to ground and center yourself. Take a couple of deep breaths and then just allow your breath to find its own natural rhythm. As you relax into the mode of learning, openness, grace, light, peace. And be there as best you can in consciousness, letting go of all the stuff you might have come in here with. All of the chatter, all of the worries, all of the fears, all the projections. Just for a while, just let them go. And know that our hearts and our minds, our spirits are joined with almost an infinite number of beings who are yearning for the same things we are. That acceptance, that love, that grace, that peace that comes from being in contact with our divine nature, the light and the grace of who we truly are. Then you can take another deep breath and open your eyes when you're ready. I'm going to begin a little bit on page 66, just to kind of overlap on last week. The guides were talking about fear. And they said, the choice must be made to support a new agreement that the requirement to fear, the belief in fear as necessity, must be moved for the energy that has been fear to be moved again or renown in a higher way. If you are willing to release the agreement that fear is your ally and your protector, you may cross the threshold. Goes on to say before that, that fear does not exist in the upper room, in higher consciousness. Now the awareness that fear exists in lower consciousness is still there. Doesn't mean that that disappears. I still recognize that my small self, my lower consciousness, still works out of a sense of fear or fearfulness. And I recognize that, but I recognize that in a way through consciousness with my higher self. That I am kind of more observing the process in lower consciousness rather than being part of it. So it would be like if you recognize someone in your life who is very fearful. You recognize that they are fearful, But you also recognize that's not who they are. They don't know that yet, maybe. But sometimes just by modeling a behavior that is without fear can help the other ones to drop that fearfulness that might have been running or ruling their lives. Now, Paul interrupts this teaching. Thank you, Paul. Are there times, though, when fear is useful? It propels us to run from the bear. It keeps us safe in harmful situations. The guides reply, your reaction may be fearful, but in the upper room, the awareness of what operates, well, excuse me, what operates quite well without fear serving as its catalyst. Do you understand this? You may move from the bear in an awareness of the harm that the bear might bring you, but that is not necessarily fearful. It's prudent. It's true action. And you must begin to trust that divine self knows what is good, what is for your highest good. The will will support you in moving from danger when danger appears. Remembering, what was it? Excuse me. Lost in Space. Danger, Will Robinson. Danger, Will Robinson.
I really got stuck on the page. I bet I've read it 10 times. I didn't realize how much fear it could
Didn't realize
from
what?
childhood on.
Okay. It
Always
was always there.
fear, whatever would be in directions, is mainly motivated by fear.
Most of what we learned about fear came from childhood. And sometimes we carry that with us into our adult life without even realizing it. We'll just take a look at our take a look at my, probably yours too, our early beliefs in religion and spirituality. For the most part, they were fear-based. God's going to get you. At least that's the way I learned. And nobody said God's going to get you, but they certainly hinted at that pretty much so. Like I said so many times, we didn't have any, there was no place to go with some of the things we learned as kids. We learned them from our parents, we learned them from our teachers, we learned them from our church. And where do you go with that when you, even when you start to question it? Sometimes the questioning is put down or condemned because you're not supposed to have that. You're not supposed to doubt. You're supposed to believe what we tell you. Know that what we tell you is what you should believe, and if you don't, you're in trouble. I can recall Margot and I were visiting a friend of hers who lived in Florida, and she had a landscaping business. So she lived in this rather large compound. And she had two fairly ferocious guard dogs, and a couple of other dogs who were also German Shepherd variety, who were kind of nice and friendly. But she said, "Don't ever go outside when the guard dogs are out there, because they'll tear your heart out." We said, "Okay, we won't do that." So the next day or so, Margot and I and another friend decided we were going to go for a walk. We say, "Well, hopefully and I think somebody checked with somebody else and said that the guard dogs were locked up, so we were okay." So we went outside, and the friendly dogs came up and they sniffed around us, and we let them pet them and stuff like that, and we walked around for a while, and then we came back into the house. And Ginger, Margot's friend, says, "What were you doing outside?" We said, "We were just walking around." "Well, I told you not to do that. Those dogs are that rip your heart out." So they were quite friendly for us. No, nobody got ripped the heart. He said, "Well, that's not supposed to happen that way." And what was interesting was because we had no fear, they reacted to us as just normal, everyday human beings. But if we had shown a little bit of fear, they would have ripped your heart out. It's a great example of how mind over matter at that particular time. We were always very careful about the dogs being outside after that, but that was a pretty important lesson to learn. That somehow or another, the dogs picked up on no fear, and when you're not afraid, we don't have anything to contend with.
I had an experience with the horse one time. I thought I knew I was afraid of it, so it moved. The horse was able to sense my fear. First time I ever went on a horse.
Did that change any?
Yes. Well, I try not to be afraid of horses because I think they
Okay.
sense it.
It's
They take it out.
a very interesting phenomenon. We come to realize that somehow or another, my fear projects on other beings, and they can pick up on that. I had a similar kind of experience when I was working at Our Lady of Peace Hospital. I was part of their alcohol and drug prevention program, which wasn't much of a program, but it was what we were doing at that particular time. And I had a key to the locked ward. And once a week or so, we used to have a group session of the severely psychotic population. So it was we figured it was sort of useless territory, that they were not going to get an idea of what we were trying to do there, but we did anyway. And I can remember one time sitting in this group, and this one guy just went off. He talked about bullet shooting and walls caving in, and you could tell the tension in the rest of the group was kind of raising and raising and raising. And I remember looking at this guy and I said, "Stop it." He stopped. "Stop it." He stopped. Said, I'm not buying this psychotic craziness. Maybe you are sick, maybe you are ill, right? But you don't have to react that way. You don't have to let your fear affect everyone else." I don't know where the courage to do that came from, because that's not like me, okay? But it was there. So here we are on page 67. "When we say these words to you now, by way of agreement to you or accord with you, we are supporting you in the choice you may make as you wish it. You are in charge of the choice you make. You are in charge of the consequences of that choice. On this day, we claim that all of you who hear these words may recognize their participation in claiming fear as an ally and make a higher choice." In other words, you can change your mind. "Make a higher choice to release the mandate that fear accompany them to what they believe to be the upper room." In other words, fear does not come to the fear does not enter into higher consciousness. It's not part of the picture. "In an awareness that fear will always lead them to a confused state, a small idea of what God might be, where fear can claim itself as sovereign." Essentially, are you willing to let go of your fear? And if you are, excuse me, what takes its place?
Hey, Jerry.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing in this, in terms of from the from the beginning of the text when you started it, it's what came to me is divine discernment.
Let me turn your volume up a little bit, Jim.
Okay.
Oops. Hang on a second, I pressed the wrong button, I think. Okay, there we go.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. What I heard from you is that in being the text is, especially with the situation with Margo and yourself with the dog, divine discernment, a willingness to trust that what was in you. There's no judgment, but there's just a discernment, a knowing, and just being aware. If that makes any kind of sense.
Okay. I'm kind of reminded of that that catchphrase from Course in Miracles. How could I see this differently? Just by asking that question, we give ourselves a choice that we didn't have before or didn't think we had before. How could I see this differently? And of course, then waiting for the answer. The answer is not going to come necessarily from the outside world, but the answer will be there from my heart, from my insides, not my outsides. As we say these words for each of you, we claim you in liberation with your consent. Are you willing? Are you willing to be free of fear? I remember hearing years ago when I was a kid, a lot of years ago when I was a kid, we used to watch Bishop Sheen on television, Catholic bishop, great speaker, eloquent. And I still remember some things that he said. One of them was, fear is another form of atheism. Oh, wow. Fear is another form. Fear is denial of God. Fear is another form of atheism. Yikes. I'm not saying you have to believe that, but that really struck me. Yeah, Matt.
2 days ago, my granddaughters were visiting. And when they arrived, they were in the minivan. And our two old dogs go out to greet them. And the little one, who's 14 months old, is in her car seat. One of the dogs comes up and puts his face in the car seat. She's used to this. That scared us. Was not what she was expecting to show up in her car seat so close.
Mm-hmm.
Terrified. And when she came in throughout the day, anytime she saw the dog, she would, you know, the terror would come. But there was also something else that was in, and that was, she wanted, she's very attracted to the dogs.
Mm.
And these, she had laid on these dogs and done all sorts of really nice dogs. And she would see me petting the dogs, sitting in my lap. And she would want to pet the dog. She would put her hand out, reach to pet the dog. And when the dog looked up, she would come back in terror. Mm. And she would do that several times, and I would pet her. And one time, you know, I was petting her, and she was reaching out to pet the dog. The dog moved, and she came back. And then she grabbed my hand, pushed my hand out to pet the dog. And I think that's part of what it is, that we all have these fears, and we have to rely upon each other to help us through those periods. And sometimes that We don't want to be. We want to be able to share this, but we want to be able to talk to the homeless guy. We want to be able to do the things that our heart calls us to do. And yet, there's that fear within us. And I think it's up to each of us to help each other with it. And that's how we get over it, is we model for each
That's a great way of putting it, Matt, and a great way of making this information that we're talking about, making it practical, because it is. I was reminded of that wonderful prayer of Thomas Merton, where he said, you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. And what you're hinting at or saying out loud to Matt is that we can help one another through that. Especially with a child who can shift consciousness much more quickly than we can. But sort of letting her do whatever she needed to do to make that connection. You know, and how many times do you need to pull away? As many times as you need to. And if you want another hand to hold, it's right here. And I'm not forcing you to do anything, but I'm letting you know that I'm here. I am present. The way Jesus put it was, I will never leave you alone. And I always thought that had two meanings to it, at least. One is, I will always be with you. I will always be here.
I think a lot of times that I think even when we don't know for sure, like when someone's dying, just to be there with. I remember one lady who was dying, a young person. She was terrified. And I didn't have any wisdom to offer to. All I had was just my presence. It was a very loving experience, and she couldn't care less.
That word presence, I can't tell you how many times I've heard that from people in relationship to Margot, that they were always touched and moved by her presence. I also remember Ram Dass saying one time, the only thing I have to give you, the only thing I have to give you is who I am in this particular moment. So I don't have to gather books or learned materials. The only thing I have to give you is who I am in this moment. And of course, you are entitled to either accept that or not. But that's all I've got. All I've got is who I am in this particular moment. And that's a great reminder of how important the present moment is. So as you were going through that process with your granddaughter, okay, you're not thinking about what's next, right? You're kind of touching hearts. Think, how can I make this easier for her? How can I make it more gentle? How can I help her through without grabbing her hand and putting it on the dog? You know, which is what my small self wants to do. But you were very, very open and gentle in that whole process, and eventually she let go of her fear. To the best degree as she could at that particular moment. And you weren't there to force anything, you were present there with her and for her to let her do that. It's safe for you to touch. It's safe for you not to touch. Thanks, Matt. You always come up with a really nice practical thing for me. I appreciate that. Let's see where we are. We're still on page 67. As we say these words for each of you, we claim you in liberation with your consent. Underline with your consent. Are you willing? We cannot take something from you that you do not wish to offer. Of Course in Miracles says God cannot heal what you are not willing to let go of. Pretty much same thing in different language. We cannot take something from you that you do not wish to offer, but we will support you in this release as you are willing to receive it. Wherever you happen to be in your process, we are here to help you through. Here is the essence of the teaching, I believe, for this morning. Excuse me. Each one of you may hear these words and will now be met in the true nature, the true expression of their own divinity, which will vanquish the fear they have utilized or restore them and what they have held in darkness to a higher state of liberation and comprehension of presence and of being. I will raise you up. You can get on the elevator. You can take it to the top floor if you like. Or the eighth floor, the ninth floor, the tenth. Whatever fits for you right now. I'd like you to close your eyes for a minute. This is not our ending meditation, but this is another piece. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, take a couple of breaths. And what would be the opposing energy to fear? What would you say? What was the opposite of fear? You can say that out loud, whatever might happen to be for you. The opposite of fear. Would it be joy? Would it be faith? Would it be courage? What would it be?
We know.
A re-knowing, okay, looking at things differently. In other words, I decide what this is going to be. I decide whether this is faith or not, or whether this is courage or not. I am the one who makes that decision. I'm the alchemist. Let's suppose you have a little control dial that's attached to your fear, whatever fear you have left. And the control dial goes from 0 to 10. Ten being just totally overwhelmed, shaking apart, fearful about everyone and everything. Zero, perfect. Perfect peace. So, where's the dial at for you right now? between 0 and 10. Numbing fearfulness or total and complete openness, joyfulness, completeness, happiness. And I just want you to notice what it would be like. Let's suppose you're at a 5 or a 6. What it would be like to turn the dial up another notch. So if you're at a 6, you go from 6 to 7. Or if you're at 7, you go from 7 to 8. And just notice you begin to have a choice once you become aware. You have a choice about how much energy you're going to put into fearfulness again, or how much energy you're going to put into joyfulness. And now, before we leave this particular piece, turn the dial up as far as it'll go. And just take that in. Take it in as courage, take it in as peacefulness. Breathe it into your being. Each one of you who may hear these words will now be met in the true nature, the true expression of their own divinity, which will vanquish the fear they have utilized or restore them and what they have held in darkness to a higher state of liberation and comprehension of presence and of being. We know who you are in truth. We know what you are in truth. We know how you serve in truth. You are free, you are free. You are free. You're in the upper room. You have come, you have come, you have come. Behold, I make all things new. It will be so. God is, God is, God is. Blessings to each of you. Deep breath, stretch, open your eyes when you're ready. Perhaps the opposite of fear is freedom. When I am free of fear. So if you want to do that little exercise with yourself at home sometime, that having that little dial, see where am I at in terms of freedom? I have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Whatever number I happen to be on, how can I raise that energy to a higher level of perspective? Just a notch, 2 notches, 3 notches. How can I turn up the energy of freedom that is the opposite of fearfulness? Think we got time for one more paragraph. Interesting, we're talking about freedom on 4th of July weekend. How free are you? What stands before you today is recognition of what you once thought you were. The memories accrued through those experiences and the identity that you may now hold, unembellished by the treasonous self, which simply means the aspect of self that would deny your inherent divinity. The realization of the accord you may now hold will come in stages. Will come in stages. There are two kinds of, or at least two kinds of spiritual awakening that are described in the book, The Variety of Religious Experience. One is what we call the road to Damascus kind of experience. Paul riding his horse to Damascus from Jerusalem, right? And he gets knocked off his horse, and Christ appears to him and says, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And on, and the story goes on. But it's kind of like this very sudden sort of awakening. Bill Wilson had something like that when he was going through his surrender and alcoholism. He said, "If there is a God, let him show himself." And he did. The room lit up, right? A number of other things happened, but it was a, what should I call it? A sudden awakening. And when William James describes what he calls, there's also what he calls the awakening of sort of the becoming variety. It happens a little bit at a time, doesn't happen all at once. And I think that's what most of us experience. A little bit here, I've got a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. One isn't better than the other, it's just the way it certainly happens. But it seems to happen gradually for most people, in a gradual way, rather than a sudden impact. The realization of the accord that you may now hold will come in stages. He calls it the educational variety. The availability of the individual and the consciousness therein must be attended to in stages, lest the idea of self-fragment in such a way that distortion occurs. We are cautious in this teaching that the amplitude that an individual may attain be welcomed by them in adherence to truth. And what that means is you cannot carry more than you can hold. You cannot lift higher than you can manage. And this is not a judgment that your lower self makes, saying, "Well, I could." It's not like walking into a candy store and saying, "I'll get 10 of those." When we open ourselves up to the truth of who we are, our awareness naturally, by its very nature, begins to expand. And it never really stops expanding from that moment on. But we can't force the process. We can't make it go faster than it will. We can't change our perception of things just because we want to. It rests kind of in the realm of mystery, where it goes beyond the explanation of the intellect, beyond the explanation of the thinking mind. So I'm going to ask you again to put your stuff down. Get comfortable in your spot. And just relax into that spaciousness that you've created as part of your work here this morning. And if you care to, say these words to yourself and to the universe. I am willing to open myself up to the highest amount of love and grace that I can contain in this moment. And as I move from moment to moment to moment, my sense of graciousness and freedom expand a little bit more and a little bit more. There are no backward steps in my spiritual life and my spiritual growth. I might slow down. I might seem to halt for a while, but my soul is always moving forward. My soul is always ever expanding. Truth of who I am stretches and grows in its capacity for unconditional love. And for this and all the gifts in my life, I am grateful. Deep breath. You can stretch a bit. And open your eyes when you're ready. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you, Jerry.
Have a good rest of the weekend. I
Yeah,
will.
I'm supposed to have sound. There's people talking, but the mute and un. Let me try. Let me see if I can get system
Love you
sound.
all.
See if
Thank
that's
you.
available now. It
Thanks,
wasn't
Jerry.
available before.
Jerry. Thank you, Jerry.
Okay, I get system settings, and let me see if I can. Yeah, let me get to the sound and see if that makes a difference. I use the Mac speakers. Let's see, output volume is on, balance is on. Output volume is, let me, it's, yeah, I can regulate it, and it's about, I'd say, 90%. No, I don't get any sound yet. See, let's see. Okay. Yeah, I'm not getting any sound on anything yet. Let's see, there's one selection that says alert sounds. Should I try that? Alert sound. Okay, and there's a selection on that. It says boop. Yeah, I hear that. Well, I can go back to the Zoom meeting. Okay.